Well, good morning. It's good to be able to get back into God's Word with you today. I want to invite you, if you have a Bible, to turn to Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, 10 through 18, as we begin today. We'll go ahead and read through that. If you do not have a Bible with you, feel free to use the Bible in the chair in front of you or somewhere in your aisle. And if you do not own a Bible, feel free to take that one home. You can have that. We're going to be in Ephesians 6. 10 through 18 as we begin. Paul writes this to the church in Ephesus as he says this, and ultimately to us as well. Finally, be strengthened by the Lord and by his vast strength. Put on the full armor of God so you can stand against the tactics of the devil. For our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the world powers of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of the evil one, or the evil in the heavens, speaking about the devil and the demons. In 13 it says this, is why you must take up the full armor of God, so that you may be able to resist in the evil day. And having prepared everything to take your stand, stand therefore with truth like a belt around your waist, righteousness like armor on your chest, and your feet sandaled with readiness for the gospel of peace. In every situation, take the shield of faith. And with it, you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is God's Word. Pray at all times in the Spirit with every prayer and request. And stay alert in this with all perseverance and intercession for all the saints. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your amazing love for us. Lord, I thank you that we can come here today and study your word together. Lord, I pray that you'll teach us. Holy Spirit, that you'll work in our hearts and that you'll convict us and that you'll change us and that you'll equip us and enable us to live out your words. Lord, we can only do this under your power, and so, Lord, I pray that we'll understand your power more. Lord, that we'll seek you and keep on seeking you, that we'll pray and keep on praying in our lives and keep on relying on you, Lord, like we've talked about the last several weeks. And Lord, as we continue on through this armor, that you'll help us to understand it in a greater way. And that we'll take it and we'll apply it to our lives. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Well, kind of recap where we've been so we can kind of get where we are today. First of all, we talked about, are we ready believers, or maybe better put, are we readying believers or preparing believers in our lives, or are we reactionary believers? Are we one who is on an ongoing relationship or in an ongoing relationship with Jesus where we're in his word, we're praying, we're in church growing? Or are we those who, when life falls apart, we finally realize our ultimate need and then go back? Which one are we? No matter where you're at today, I hope that you'll see the importance of being prepared and being in a relationship with Christ. And that is only possible because of Jesus' death on the cross for our sins. In week two, we talked about the importance of being ready in week one and in this command here in verse 13 of being prepared in everything. In week two, we talked about how in the world can we be prepared. And so we talked about the strength of God in verse 10, where it says, finally, be strengthened by the Lord and by his vast strength. We can only be prepared in the Lord's strength. So what do? We pray, we keep on praying, seeking to understand that more, seeking to be more ready in him and under his power. We seek and we keep on seeking him in Scripture. And we admit our inability in God's ability, and we rely on that. And then The second part of that is how to be prepared was to put on, to take action in this full armor of God, as it says in verse 11 and then in verse 13, where it says, put on the full armor of God and you must take up the full armor of God. Okay. So those were the first weeks. In week three, we talked about, which was last week, the certain armors that were called to put on and take up. And so we had this truth like a belt. Righteousness like armor on your chest, feet sandaled for readiness of the gospel. And that was verse 14 in verse 15, which is what we looked at last week. But in order to put these on, we must remember what we talked about in week two. We must rely on God's power. Pray, keep on praying. Seek, keep on seeking, realizing our inability in God's ability. And that's the only way that as we get into God's word, and as we're praying through this, and as we're with other believers, and we're built up, that we're actually able to put on truth like a belt. And what that was talking about is all of us have loose ends in our life, areas that God has called us to live out that we have not been living out. And so the picture is of a soldier tucking in his loose garments and putting them under a belt so he is ready for battle. And the picture for us as believers is to take those loose ends, those areas that we're called to live, and tuck those back under God's truth and live within that truth so that we're ready for battle. Then we have righteousness like armor on our chest. And the example for us of righteousness is Jesus Christ. And so we see the example lived out in Jesus, and then we take up that example of righteousness and we live out that example in our lives, putting on Christ's example and living it out. Then in verse 15, the feet sandaled for readiness of the gospel is knowing the gospel message that Jesus Christ paid the penalty for your sins. This is not something that you could have paid. Jesus, being perfect, sinless, died on the cross for our sins. And the only way we can be forgiven is to put our faith in Jesus alone. And when we put our faith in Christ alone, we are forgiven, placed under His righteousness. His blood covers us. And so we know that by God's grace, through faith in Jesus Christ, we can be called righteous. We can be called forgiven. This is the gospel message. And we need to be ready to proclaim this gospel message to anyone. Because this gospel message is for everyone, no matter what they have done. And so, putting on and being ready with the gospel message to proclaim to others, and we're going to look at it today a little bit more, to proclaim to ourselves, because Satan will continually attack and try to get us to doubt our salvation. And we briefly touched on that last week. And so we respond to truth, tucking our lives, our loose ends back under truth, living for Him, seeing the example of Christ's righteousness, and then living out His righteousness, and then we stand on the message of the gospel, which gospel means good news for everyone, okay? So this good news, we stand on the gospel and we proclaim the gospel. We're ready with the gospel. Now, that's where we've been, okay? Now, here we are today in verse 16. Verse 16 says this, as I flip way too far. Verse 16 says, in every situation, take the shield of faith, and with it, you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. The evil one, speaking of Satan. Okay, so what is this talking about? Last week we looked at the picture of a soldier, and so we're going to look at the picture again. We talked about the idea of what this is talking about, and then we talked about application, and we put some other scriptures into it. So we're going to do that through these as well this week, okay? So here we have a picture of the Greek word, actually shield, doesn't talk about a little teeny shield. It's actually talking about a large shield, okay? So this is a 2.5-foot by 4.5-foot shield. This is a big shield. This is a big pulpit. Imagine this is about, let's see, 4.5 feet this way maybe. Okay. And this is about 2 feet maybe. So add a little bit here. Okay. So let's just go here. That's a big shield. Do you see me? I know you do. You can hide behind this shield. That's how big this shield is. When I was a youth pastor, we used to do paintball days, and we'd go out, and we had this lady in the church and this guy in the church that said, "Hey, come out, use our woods. You can do whatever in it, and just play paintball, whatever. Just have fun." And so we'd go back there with a group of teens, and there'd be like, I don't know, 9 or 10 of us that had paintball gear, and we'd go back there and play. The problem was this forest thing wasn't very old, or it was just way too dense, because the trees were all like this big. And so you may have been able to, as a teenager, like hide behind something that big, but I can't remember the last time I could hide behind something that big. And so, like, we'd be playing paintball, running through this forest, and I'd get behind this tree, trying to hide, you know, trying to make myself skinnier in those days, because I was a lot bigger, actually, at that time. And so I'm trying to hide, and inevitably, I would be shot by something that's sticking out. Whether it's the back of my head, whether it's the front of my foot, whether it's my knee, I could not hide behind these little dinky trees. And that's not at all the picture we have here of this shield we are called to take up of faith. The picture we have is this giant shield. And it takes up all the arrows that are shot at us by Satan. They hit this shield. They are extinguished in this shield. So what in the world is this faith we are called to take up? I'll tell you what it's not. It's not just a knowledge of what is taught in our doctrine, okay? It's not just a doctrinal knowledge of Christianity or a religious practice in Christianity. That is not the faith it is talking about. What it's talking about is a continual trust in the Lord, a continual trust, faith in His promises, no matter what circumstance we are in. Faith in His words, no matter what circumstance we are in. That's how, no matter what circumstance, as it says, at all times taking up the shield, we're ready in every situation, as it says in verse 16, as we stand behind and we trust in the word of the Lord and the promises of the Lord, complete trust. As Satan attacks, those arrows are extinguished. So it's not a knowledge of a Christian doctrine or a religious practice. It is a continual trust in the promises of God, in the Word of God, His words, in Him, no matter what the circumstance. Psalm 18, verse 30, here's some other words, other passages that use this word shield that tie in the word of the Lord and the trust in the Lord. Psalm 18 verse 30 says this, God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is pure. And so it's talking about God being perfect, His words being pure as he begins there, the psalmist, and he says this, He is a shield to all who take refuge in Him, okay? His ways are perfect. His word is pure. He is a shield for those who do what? Take refuge in Him. Put their faith in Him, their trust in Him. They rest in Him. And so that's the picture there in Psalm. Proverbs 30, verses 5 and 6 say this, Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who take refuge in Him. Don't add to His words or he will rebuke you, and you will be proved a liar. So we're not called to add anything to his words. We're called to rest in what he says. Take refuge, trust in what God says here in this proverb. So, what is the application of this shield, this faith we're called to have here in Christ, in God? As Satan attacks, he will promise pleasure in other things. He'll promise satisfaction in other things. We trust God that he is the best we could possibly have. And we trust in obedience. We rely on him and his promises. And we reject Satan's lies. I was thinking about this week, the trust a child has in their father. And the example that Christ sets, he points to a child as an example to his disciples and to us in the trust and humility they have and the reliance they have on their fathers and on God. And I was thinking this week about how Nola trusts me. Like, Nola will get on our dining room table, and it's 10 feet long. And she'll run to the other end of the dining room table, and she'll say, okay, Daddy, stand there. And she will run down the table, and she will jump off the table, and she does not fear because I'm going to catch her. And she knows that. She's never once been dropped. And so she trusts Daddy to catch her. Now, I'll push the envelope a little bit. I'll step back as she's running, like, good 6-7 feet back, and she's like, and she'll stop like halfway, like, that's a little too far. It's because that's a pretty long jump for a kid. But my thought is, I'm going to come and meet you halfway, and she doesn't know that. She thinks I'm going to stand there and not catch her. But she trusts me up to, you know, certain levels, and then I'll go, trust me, I'll catch you, and I'll step back. And she'll do it. And she'll trust me. Now, the boys, on the other hand, I have sometimes messed with them a little bit. And God doesn't do this to us. But I've messed with my kids a little bit. And so they don't trust everything I say anymore. Like, one time I was, we had bought some cookies at the store. They were dog cookies. Yeah, you can see where this is going. And they were all organic. And so I thought to myself, this would be kind of funny if I was to take this dog cookie, pretend I was eating it, and tell them it was delicious. And so I took this vanilla dog cookie, and I sat there and pretended I was eating it, and I'd, you know, slide it into my hand as I'm eating it so it'd kind of disappear, and told them it was good. And they're like, oh, cool. So they grabbed it, and they started eating the cookie, and they got like halfway through it, and I like held up the cookie, and it's full. And I was like, how's that cookie? Because it's a dog treat. And they actually thought they were pretty good, but now they don't trust every single thing I'm saying because I messed with them a little bit. Nola still has the innocence of trust, belief in what her father, her dad says. Maybe you've done something similar. I don't know. It's kind of funny. But my kids will someday do that to their kids, I guess. The reality here is, when Nola trusts me, that's an example of how our trust should be in God. When God says, if I put my faith in him alone, I will be saved, then I trust him for that. If he says, give to me, and I will provide for you, then I need to trust him in that. What he calls me to do, I trust him in. And when Satan says, are you sure about that? And we're going to get to this in a second, what Satan starts to do and mess with you. Are you sure about that? Then I say, I trust in God. And I can hide behind that shield of faith. And no matter what Satan shoots at me, they can be extinguished in the trust I have in God. And I remember, under his power, And so I seek and I keep on seeking him. I pray and I keep on praying, and I rely on God's power and God's strength as I pick up trusting in him. Proverbs 3:5-6 says this: trust in the Lord with all your heart. With part of your heart? With some of your heart? No. With all of your heart. And do not rely on your own understanding. And so when we see something that God has called us to do, and we go, man, I just don't get this. I don't understand how this is possible. It just doesn't work out in my mind. Then I don't rely on my understanding. I go, I'm going to trust you, God, because that's what you say. And so I'm putting aside my understanding and my way, and I'm going to rely on your way. I'm trusting in you with all of my heart, not relying on my own understanding. Think about him in all your ways, and he will guide you on the right path. So let me ask us this. What has God promised that I'm struggling to trust him in? What has God commanded that I'm struggling to follow him in? What has God promised that I'm struggling to trust him in? And what has God commanded that I'm struggling to follow him in? As I identify those things, and I get into God's word and I read it, and it's affirmed by a trustworthy God, then I set aside my way to follow his way. And every time my way keeps creeping back up, and Satan wants me to follow my way, wants me to follow the world's way, I remind myself to trust in God, and I pray and I keep on praying, and I seek and I keep on seeking, and I rely on his power. As I take up that shield of faith, that 2.5 by 4.5 shield that I can hide behind as I trust in God. Next part, verse 17. Next thing I'm told to pick up here is a helmet of salvation. Take the helmet of salvation, okay? It's a very short sentence there. This is not talking to someone who has not believed in Jesus, okay? This is not saying if you have not trusted in Jesus, then pick up this helmet of salvation. If you have not trusted in Jesus, then I encourage you, put your faith in Christ alone today. What this is speaking of, though, is to those who are believers, reminding ourselves of the salvation we have in Christ, because Satan will attack your salvation. Okay, so the helmet is essential in battle. The helmet protects the head, right? It's that simple. That's why there's not a whole lot of explanation here. The helmet protects the head. And so Satan will try to get us to doubt our salvation. Satan will try to get us to doubt whether we are forgiven, whether we have eternal life. Satan likes to work in doubt and uncertainty and shame. Satan loves that area. And if he can get believers to sit in doubt and uncertainty and shame, then we won't be effective for the Lord. And so, Paul here, and he does it again, actually, in 1 Thessalonians 5:8. He says the same words here. But since we belong to the day, we must be serious and put on the armor of faith and love on our chest and put on the helmet of the hope of salvation. The helmet of the hope of salvation. This is key because our salvation will go under attack. Satan loves the did God really? First temptation in the garden. Did God really say? Did God really forgive you? Did God really die on the cross for you? Did God really promise he would do that? Or is God really going to come through? Did God really come through before? He loves that. In my life, I've many times as a young believer felt that, did God really attack by Satan? I've told you about this before. God saved me. I know his promises in Scripture. I've read his promises in Scripture. I grew up within the church. That did not save me. Growing up within the church did not save me. Going to church did not save me. None of that stuff saved me. Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. My works did not save me. He died on the cross, so if I put my faith in him, I can have salvation. But Satan still likes to come in and try to get me to doubt, especially early in my life. And so memorizing Scripture was key for me. As soon as that doubt would come in, to say, nah, no, Satan, that's not going to work. And that's what this helmet of salvation is. A reminder of I am Jesus's. The work was done for me on the cross. I don't have to do the work. He did it. Here's some verses that I like to remind myself of. John 20, 27. And it's just the end of it. Well, every time doubt would creep in, I'd tell myself, and this is what Jesus told Thomas, stop doubting and believe. One time when I was in the midst of doubt, I came across that passage, and so I put it to memory, not the reference itself, but just the words, stop doubting and believe. Stop doubting and believe. And this is when Thomas was doubting whether Jesus had risen from the dead. He said, okay, go ahead, put your fingers in the holes, put your hand in my side, stop doubting and believe. Another one. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. We are forgiven when we confess our sins to Jesus Christ. He is faithful to purify us. This week, while I was studying these 2 points and these attacks that Satan does on us, I bought the new Ring Collective CD. Actually, not CD, because it's digital now. So I bought the new Ring Collective digital copy, MP3. It just doesn't sound as good. I don't know, like record, CD, tape, that sounds better. Okay, so I bought the new Ring Collective collection of songs on digital volume, and I was listening to it while studying. And so this song, and we're going to play it, came across. And I was like, that's exactly what these two armors are talking about. Satan is going to try to get you to doubt your salvation. He's going to attack you with shame. And you need to remind yourself over and over of what you have in Jesus. And so I invite you just to listen for a second. It's 3 minutes and 41 seconds or something like that. Don't time it. Just listen to it. So we're going to, and Sam's actually going to try to keep up, and so you can read the words as well. And are we ready? You think?
When I stand accused by my regrets, and the devil roars his empty threats, I will preach the gospel to myself that I am not a man condemned, for in Jesus Christ is my defense. My sin. Yeah. incense. I will worship him with holy hands and raise the song that never ends of Jesus Christ, my righteousness. My sin is nailed to the cross. My soul is healed by the scars.
Fitting. As I was sitting there studying and I heard that song, I was like, that's exactly what this armor is talking about. Christ is our righteousness. Continue to remind yourself of that as Satan attacks. The last armor, piece of armor, maybe you not even call this a piece of armor because it's actually a weapon. We're called to pick up here in verse 17 is this. Take the helmet of salvation, and after that it says, and the sword of the Spirit, which is God's word. The only weapon this soldier has here is a sword. Picture here is of one of defense and offense. The sword is used for both. To defend against an attack and to attack, right? Sword is both. And so as we look at what it's talking about here and the idea that it's portraying here is that God's word in our lives and the Holy Spirit's work as we get into God's word, and he's convicting us, directing us, guiding us, equipping us as we get into God's word, it protects against the attacks of Satan, and it destroys the strategy of the enemy with an offensive attack, leaving them with no weapon, leaving them unarmed, or him unarmed. Because you've responded to God's work in your life through the Holy Spirit's work through God's word. Jesus sets the example of this when he is tempted in the desert. In Luke 4, 1 through 13, it's actually not going to be up on the overhead, I don't believe. But I invite you to look that up later. We're not going to read through the whole thing. But spend some time looking at how Jesus used God's word as a weapon. In John 4, I'm just read you I'm not going to read you the whole thing. Like I said, I'm going to just read you a few words here. As Satan attacked, here's Jesus' response. It is written. Where is it written? In God's word, in the Bible. It is written, man must not live on bread alone. Okay? But you may have a translation that says, but on every word of God, okay? So those words are actually from the Old Testament, and they're taken from Deuteronomy 8:3. And so Deuteronomy 8:3 actually says, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word of the Lord, okay? That's what Deuteronomy 8:3 says. So Jesus here proclaims that as Satan's trying to tempt him. Then in verse 8, it says again, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And so Jesus is showing us defensive, as Satan attacks, Jesus holds up the word. It says, this is what the word says. This is how I'm called to live out this. And then in verse 12, it says again, it is said, do not test the Lord your God. In verse 12. And so Jesus, each time, as an example of using God's word as a defense, says these words, quoting scripture as Satan attacks. And I invite you to read that, through that sometime. 2 Timothy shows both offensive and defensive approaches to God's word. Okay, 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17. And we're actually going to close with one more scripture after this. But 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17 says this. All scripture is inspired by God. We've heard this verse before many times. And is profitable for teaching. Teaching would be both an offensive and defensive approach. As you learn something, you are ready to defend against it now because you've heard God's word. And as you teach something, you're remembering it. And so you're attacking, and someone's being equipped before they're attacked. And so now they have an offensive weapon to attack before Satan attacks. It's profitable for teaching, for rebuking, a defensive weapon. Somebody is living within sin. Now we've been rebuked by God's word. It is showing us how we should live. And so it's now reacting defensively. I need to get with the game here. I need to respond here. For correcting, the same thing, same idea here. For training, both offensive and defensive, same as teaching, okay? So those are the ideas. And what are we being taught in? What are we being rebuked in, corrected in? What are we being trained in? In righteousness. And our righteousness is in Jesus Christ alone. And it goes on and says this, so that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. Equipped. That's what we've been talking about, being ready. So as we take up God's word and we learn God's word, it serves as both a defensive weapon as we're being attacked to shield us, to protect us, and it also serves as an attack on Satan before he even attacks. Hebrews 4:13 says this, for the word of God is living and effective and sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrating as far as the separation of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It is able to judge the ideas and the thoughts of the heart. And so I want to encourage you, take up the sword. Take up God's word. Seek God and keep on seeking him. Pray and keep on praying. Rely on God's power. We cannot do it ourselves. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the example within Scripture. I thank you for the challenges here. This armor we're called to pick up. The shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword, which is your word, of sword of the Spirit. Lord, I pray that we will indeed respond by taking them up and by putting them on. Lord, that we will live out how we're called to respond to these. Lord, that these won't be just words talked about on a Sunday, but they'll be applications we live by this week and for our whole lives. We can only do this under your power. So help us, Lord, to follow you. Thank you, Lord, for making us right with you, for the salvation we have in you alone, Jesus. We praise your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.